Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The two greatest drag on a Christian's life is fear and discouragement. God's own name is one of encouragement. That is powerful. And you cannot live the Christian life unless you come to the conclusion, I cannot do this, God. I cannot do this. Only you can do this. Only you can live your life through me. And he is your greatest cheerleader.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We each have a responsibility to pass on the truth that God's given to us, to others. And the words that were stated in 1 Chronicles 28, we won't have time to go through all of it. And so if I could just give you one verse, four thoughts. It's found in Acts 13. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And we'll just give you these as I'd encourage you to write them down in your journal. Because they would summarize what I would want to be able to say to our church as we close out the life of David. Although he's dead, his life still speaks. And the observations of David's life, as we've been looking in and out of it, I would like to summarize in these four statements that I think would be helpful to us. I think they'd be an encouragement as well to your life, wherever you may be. And it is found as a summary statement in Acts 13, a message that Paul preached his first missionary journey, his first public preaching, and he overviews the life of the Jewish nation, and he makes the statement in verse 22, encapsulizes David's life. This is what he says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will." He went on to review the rest of the time period of the prophets. He quoted some psalms that David wrote, and he said again in verse 36, and he summarizes for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep. He died. And that summarizes David's life. We don't have time to go through all of David's life as we've been doing so. Can I summarize his life in these four statements? I think they're truisms that might help you and I as we would condense all of this into these four statements. Let me give them to you. And number one, I'd encourage you to write down these lasting lessons learned at David's expense. Number one, that God's blessing comes from his choice, God's choice, and our obedience. I think that's why when Paul made the statement, verse 22, back to that verse, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David. He raised up David. It was God's blessing that came from God's choice on David's life. But it also was David's own obedience. And I think those dovetail inextricably, in which they're very difficult to pull apart. And if you were, you'd be unraveling the garment that God made through the life of David, understanding that for David's life, God's blessing came because of God's choice, but also David's obedience. That's why I think he made the statement that he raised up David. Number two, confession and repentance help heal a wound. Confession and repentance, they help heal a wound, but they will never erase all the scars. David had failures in his own life, well documented, choices that he shouldn't have made, choices that he did make. Fact is that God covered it all. And there was complete repentance, and there was healing. There were scars to remain. But those scars that became marks of ownership on David's life, they became signatures on David's life to realize that just as it says, to whom also he gave testimony, verse 22, I have found David. I've found David. Third statement, I think, is true. As it looked at the life of David, that God unfolds his divine sovereignty, and it's clothed in human error. God's own sovereignty, but it's clothed in human error. I think that's why I made this statement, which shall fulfill all my will. You see, David did not live a perfect life. David made wrong choices. David got into situations that he shouldn't have, some in which it almost cost him. We looked at the idea of Nabal, times that he almost did something he shouldn't have done, including killing of Saul. Times he did some incredible events. He was known as a fugitive that became a king, that became a monarch, and eventually a sage. He was a wise man, as 1 Chronicles 28 records. We don't have time to go into it. But God's sovereignty overruled all of his own stupidity. Powerful truth. And number four, understand that David knew the greatest need of human endeavors. And that was encouragement. It was encouragement. What I wanted to summarize all of this and condense it and compact it, because really all of these statements are so true. You need to understand that, you know, God's blessing does come from his choice on your life. He chose you. He called you, just as he did with us. It wasn't your choice that he saved you and called you with the holy calling. You had nothing to do with it. He plucked you out of a dark, miry pit and pulled you out and said, I chose you. Why? I have no idea. But he did. And he will continue to bless as you obey. This is a scriptural pattern. It is true that confession, repentance will help heal a wound. And thank God for that. But the fact is that for all of us as believers, that there are certain scars that you wish, I wish that had never happened. Well, you can wish till the stars may fall, and it will never remove those. As we've said so often, you cannot change your past. You can change the meaning. And all of us stand guilty. But what a powerful truth as it is with David. As it is with understanding that God does unfold his divine sovereignty and is clothed in human error. And that gives us great encouragement. As the last point, that David knew the greatest need of human endeavors was encouragement. It is not, as one religion would state, it's not luck. It's not fate. It is sovereignty. And that should not be a straitjacket to tie you in to doing nothing. It's a security blanket. God, you understood it all. Now, saying all that, let me give you verses, jot them down, and with this we'll close. Because all of these you will find all through Scripture. What are examples of this encouragement? Because I want to leave this final point with you. Notice, if you would, with Moses. Fact is, I underline in this Deuteronomy 31:7-8, all through Scripture, Moses knew that God was a God of encouragement. What's the underlying statement there? Be strong and of a good courage. Moses said it to Joshua. Notice, if you would, in Joshua 23:6, what's the first line? Can you read that with me? Be ye therefore very courageous. Evidently picked it up off of Moses, and Joshua now himself repeats it to the people. Notice, if you would, I jotted down Samuel in 1 Samuel 12, 24 and 25. And notice, read it with me out loud, how great things he has done for you. Samuel talking to the people. And it goes on, as you would open up the scriptures, you would find Paul himself in 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read that out loud together. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." And these are the same words that are repeated again and again. And David himself, who said to the people in 1 Chronicles 28, "Be strong and of good courage." We need encouragement. And God himself, in his own name, states that. Notice, if you would, in these three last references, jot down Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Can you read that underlined statements? There are three of them. Notice, say it out loud, "Be strong and of good courage." He said it again, "Be strong and of very courageous." And again, "Be strong and of good courage." God said that. Because his own nature is that. Notice in Romans 15:5, what does it say? "Now the God of patience and consolation," that's the same word for encouragement. And he says the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 2:16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God, even our Father, has loved us, has given us everlasting consolation," or encouragement. And with this we'll close, because if you don't get all of that, God himself, when you became a Christian, implanted into you, deposited into you, your body, God himself, this Holy Spirit. And this is how he said it in John 14, 16, and 17. "I'll pray the Father," Jesus said, "and give you another," what is the word? "Comforter." It's the same root family name and word for encouragement. Because I'm going to tell you, the two greatest drag on a Christian's life is fear and discouragement. God's own name is one of encouragement. That is powerful. And you cannot live the Christian life unless you come to the conclusion, "I cannot do this, God. I cannot do this. Only you can do this. Only you can live your life through me." And he is your greatest cheerleader. He comes alongside of you. The Spirit of God resides within you. And he says, "You can do this. I want to encourage you. I'm with you. You can make it. No, you can't do this by yourself. Yes, you can with me. I am the God of encouragement. I love you. I proved it. I gave my son for you. I've deposited in you the Spirit of God, the Trinity within you. And no matter how difficult, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how discouraging, no matter how fearful you get, I'm the God of patience and encouragement. Let me encourage you. You be courageous with his encouragement. God wants you to be encouraged. If you have no knowledge of your eternity and where you're spending it, I promise you Christ himself came to this world to give you life. I'd love to point it out to you, because he is a God of patience and encouragement, just to offset your fear and discouragement.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.